Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Booker T. Washington Speaks, African American Family Room Forum. We welcome everyone who's joined us this evening. I'm certainly glad that you were able to stop your. Army officer. He was a pilot, actually. And I remember not long after he had returned from the war, I was enrolled in school, and every morning we had a little rural school, and we had a flagpole right in front of the school. And every morning the teachers would line us up, and we would place our hands over our hearts and pledge allegiance to the flag. And later, when I became a Cub Scout and wore a Cub Scout uniform, we were taught how to actually salute the flag in a military-style salute. And I've been doing that now since I was probably about 8 years old, and I'm going to be 76, God willing, in 4 months. And so, yes, I certainly agree with that sentiment. God bless America. And I was just telling my wife earlier today, we were having a nice conversation, and I was telling her about the many places around the globe that I served and traveled in defense of our nation, including South America and Korea, Japan, Africa, Europe, the Middle East, the West Indies. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to our topic for tonight. It's a rather provocative topic, and I don't know how long we're going to have the program tonight because I was informed by our other panelist that has been recently consistently joining us, Dr. Calvin Nobles, that he won't be able to join us tonight. And I did advertise earlier this afternoon or this evening on Facebook, on my Facebook page, the name or topic or title, which is America's Increasing White Nationalism a Threat to African Americans? And why or why not, for those that don't believe it is. And if it is, what can be done about it? So anyone that's listening via the internet, and I do have stats that I look at that indicate that there are quite a few people that do listen via the internet. They just don't want to be heard as active vocal participants, but they listen. So any of you all that are tuning in via the internet to listen, they would like to come on and let us hear your opinion about this topic. We certainly encourage you to do it. The number to call in is 657-383-0671. I will repeat this in a few minutes, so those of you that didn't have something or don't have something to write the number down with can go ahead and fetch something to write the number down with. But anyway, the topic again is America's increasing white nationalism a threat to African Americans? Why or why not? And if it is, what can be done about it? Let me say this, then I'm going to ask Ms. Bianca to give us this comment. One of the things that I do every week, and I've mentioned this before, in order to pick a topic that will stimulate a discussion and something that we can readily find data concerning, is I very closely monitor the news reports. I have several different sites via the internet that feed me news, and then I also look at the evening news on the television. But I've noticed an increase in journalistic commentary and news reports concerning the rise of white nationalism. You can go on YouTube, and in the YouTube searches put white nationalism, you'll find quite a number of broadcasts that have been put on YouTube of panel discussions about it and commentaries about it. So it is a reality that's being discussed. And especially in light of what has been labeled as domestic terrorism that's occurred in the last few months throughout the country, from East Coast to West Coast and down south and up north. And so we want to talk about whether this increasing white nationalism is a threat to African Americans. We know in the 1920s, when it began to rise sharply after the First World War ended and soldiers came home, including black soldiers that were, in some cases, lynched in their uniforms. But we know that the KKK experienced a dramatic rise in the 1920s, even up north as far as Illinois. And so we are looking at something similar, maybe not as virulent, but seems like it's growing here over approximately 100 years later. So what do you think, Mr. Bianchi?
Well, what do you call white nations? Give me an example.
Well,
what are they supposed to do?
I'll tell you what, that's a good question. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I like to have some authoritative response presented for our audience. So what I'm going to do, since I'm right here at my computer, is I'm going to give you a definition.
And can I say something?
Well, let me ask you a question first. Since you gave me a question, I took the time to pull it up. If you could let me just take a minute and answer it, I won't take long. But let me
respond to what you're doing. The answer.
Well,
if you're using Google. Google is very biased. But go ahead.
No, can I ask you a question? Okay, first of all, this is not an authoritative source. I don't allow my students use it, but some of the information is very well researched. So the first information that comes up answering that question, what is white nationalism, says white nationalism is a type of nationalism or pan-nationalism which espouses the belief that white people are a race and seeks to develop and maintain a white national identity. Now, that's, as I say, Wikipedia, which I don't use in my classes. That's an authoritative source. Okay, wait a minute.
Let me ask you another question.
No, wait, please. One more. Now, this source is actually from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it says white group espouse white supremacists or white separatists ideologies, often focusing on the alleged inferiority of non-whites.
Okay. Alleged inferiority of non-whites. Did I hear you right?
Okay, just give me 1 second. I'm almost through. It's one more sentence, and I'll be finished. It says, groups listed in a variety of other categories, Ku Klux Klan, neo-Confederate, neo-Nazi, racist skinhead, and Christian identity could also be fairly described as white nationalists. Now, that's from the Southern Poverty Law Center. So I just wanted to give an answer to your question.
Right.
You know, what did I mean?
Let me ask you another question.
Okay, yes.
What is black nationalism?
Well,
and remember now, before you go too far away, that last definition that you gave said it could be. They could be. It didn't say they were. But what is black nationalism?
Okay, well, let me just say something, Ms. Bianchi. Please bear with me. This is going to be a very short talk tonight because it's just you and me. And I really, as you know from being with me for almost 3 years, I don't like to engage in the debate so much as I like to just lay out
a foundation. Well, I'm just trying to prove an example. Prove a point.
No, I'm just talking about myself. I just introduced.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll look it up.
Okay, that's fine. But let me just say this for our audience. This is, I just introduced a topic that I hope others would come on and would have something to say, not just me and you having a debate or back and forth about it, because, you know, I don't like to do that with you, and I don't like to do it with anybody, really. So you can go ahead and have the floor. And we
you said yours was from Wikipedia?
That was one of the two. The other was from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
All right, real quick. Now, when you brought the page up, I guess you Google it. How far down was the definition for white nationalists?
Well, the first thing that came up was the Wikipedia, and then I went down a couple of more to the Southern Poverty Law Center. But since you had not given me a lot of time to keep giving information, I stopped there. So I didn't go far because you.
All right, this is what this is what Southern Poverty Law Center says. The Black Nationalist Movement is a reaction to centuries of institutional white supremacy in America. Black nationalists believe the answer to white racism is to form separate institutions or even a separate nation. For black people, most forms of black nationalism are strongly anti-white and anti-Semitic. Some religious versions assert that black people are the biblical chosen people of God. Now, this definition is applied to black people. Black nationalists is nothing like the one that they gave for white nationalists. And if you really got to thinking, if you really think, the only difference would be just the changing of the word from white nationalists to black nationalists. But that's not the agenda. Let me go see what Wikipedia says. And then I'm going to give you an answer. I just want to be on the same foot.
You've got
black nationalism.
You've got 50 minutes that you can give the audience.
Hang on. All right. Black nationalism is a type of political thought that seeks to promote, develop, and maintain a black race identity for people of black ancestry. Black nationalist activism revolves around social, political, and economic empowerment of black communities and people, especially to resist assimilation. Listen, especially to resist assimilation into white culture through integration or otherwise, and maintain a distinct black identity. So, as I said here, their definition for black nationalism had nothing in similarity as it does for white nationalism. It says nothing about blacks think that whites are inferior, or should I say others are inferior, just like it says that whites think that others are inferior. So it's a flawed concept. The way it's being portrayed is totally flawed. It's biased. It's not legitimate. Because it should be just the opposite. And actually, it shouldn't be just the opposite. I take that back. If you change the words from white to black, well, the rest of the meaning should apply. So you got agenda that's going on. And that's what it is. I mean, that makes sense.
Okay, well, listen, just for the benefit of our audience that just tuned in, I do want to reiterate the topic, you know, for tonight. If anybody wants to call in and respond to Mr. P.I.K. or listen, the topic is America's increasing, quote, white nationalism, unquote, a threat to African Americans? Why or why not? And if it is, what can be done about it? So that's the
now
topic for tonight, those who are listening.
Let me look at another definition here. Let me look up the definition of nationalist. And I think I know what that's going to say, and I believe you do too. Let's see. A person who strongly identifies with their own nation and vigorously supports its interests, especially to the exclusion or detriment of the interests of other nations. That's nationalist. All right. So if you say white nationalist, then you're saying a white person who strongly identifies with their own nation and vigorously supports its interests. If you say black nationalist, you should say a person who strongly identifies with their own nation and vigorously supports its interests. Now, what nation are we talking about? We're talking about the United States. What other nation could there be? So, a white nationalist is a person who identifies with the United States. A black nationalist, in the context of blacks being here in America, should be a person that identifies and vigorously support its interests, especially to the exclusion or detriment of interests of other nations. In other words, they have strong support of the United States. That's why come the U.S. State Department don't recognize dual citizenship. And when you take on American citizenship, you have to denounce other national, other citizenship. Because if the U.S. went to war against an Afghanistan, well, Afghanistan's in this country would have to be looked at very, very closely because they align with Afghanistan. If black American was in Afghanistan and Afghanistan went to war with the United States, Afghanistan government would look at them very, very closely because those blacks are American nationalists. They might even round them up. So I think what you have and what you're hearing is news media is just with an agenda. It's just putting these ideas out there. You know, they made a they talked about, let's revisit Charleston, where they was taking down Robert E. Lee's statue. And Donald Trump made reference that there's good people on both sides. All right. And the news media thought that was a horrible thing to say. But it didn't talk about a group of white women who got in a car and left Georgia, I believe it was, and drove all the way to that site because they were supportive of keeping the statue up. So are we saying that they was white nationalists, terrible people? In St. Louis, there's movements to take down Barack Obama's signs off the streets. It was a sub-name beneath a long-standing name of the street. Okay. So if blacks protest to take that sign down, are they black nationalists? They've done the same thing with a statue in Forest Park, which really didn't commemorate, what really wasn't pointing anything out too specific, but it had something to do with the Confederacy. You had whites that was wanting to take it down, and you had a lot of whites that wanted to keep it up, including blacks. So are the blacks black nationalists or Confederate nationalists? I just want to get that point out there.
Okay, Ms. Pianki, I was hoping we'd have others to join us, and no one else has joined us yet. And I'm going to go ahead and give the audience and you my answer to the question, and after that, you can respond, and then I think we'll wrap it up, unless somebody else joins us. So the question for the audience, and you know it, but I'll give it to the audience that just joined. And the number for any of you who may have just joined near the internet that would like to call in to participate, the number is 657-383-0671. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give my answer, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Mr. Pianki. Is America's increasing white nationalism a threat to African Americans? Why or why not? If it is, what can be done about it? Okay, first of all, in and of itself, I don't believe white nationalism is any more a threat to black or African Americans than Chinese American nationalism is, or Cherokee American nationalism is, or black nationalism is. just about empowering and building pride in developing social systems to enhance the lives of those people that identify with that group. If it's not, if the organization or the movement is not seeking to deprive anyone else of their freedom or their human rights or civil rights. Unfortunately, historically, the white nationalist movement in America has sought to deprive African Americans of their rights, even to have businesses, as in the case of Black Wall Street's destruction or Rosewood's destruction, and other small, thriving, small efforts, sometimes larger efforts to establish themselves, Black communities, as we mentioned, Black Wall Street and Rosewood. These people who didn't call themselves then white nationalists, they most of the time just called themselves KKK, Ku Klux Klan, or other names. But they were trying to keep the Black people down and keep the white people on top. But as long as that's all they want to do is just to elevate and strengthen and empower their people without trying to deprive anyone else of their right to business or freedom, civil rights or life even, I don't see a problem with it. But that's the caveat. You know, as long as it's just them working to help develop their own communities. But then on the other hand, when you get the real estate, and you're involved with real estate, Mr. Bianchi, and you know some of this already, but, you know, when you get involved with, you know, you want to have enclaves and redline certain communities. Now, there are communities that are gated communities. They're basically subscription communities where you pay certain annual fee to belong in that community. And but according to the law, you know, they're supposed not to discriminate against people because of their color. But we know that in many cases in the past, this has been done and done a lot. But the thing about it is this whole idea of nationalism in and of itself, I don't think is bad. I don't think a Black nationalist movement that's seeking to empower Black people in business and politics and education is a bad thing. But now, if the organization goes out and they start promoting attacks against other colors of people, that's wrong. It would be wrong even if they didn't call it Black nationalism. So the last part of the question is, if it is, what can be done about it? Well, if it's the physical threat that these people are going out because of some agenda they have, some movement they have to repress Black people, then I think Black people need to do what's necessary to make their police agencies do what they are supposed to be doing to keep the peace and protect them from these marauders or attackers. Now, if the police fail to do that, the Second Amendment of the Constitution gives every man, and that includes women too, the right to arm ourselves and defend our homes. And so that's just something that people need to learn to be prepared for if it comes to that. But I'm not encouraging people to go out and get guns and start drilling in there, making lots in their neighborhoods so that they can take the police job away from them. I'm not encouraging that at all. I respect and admire our policemen and police women. But other things can be done about it if there's a threat. And in some cases, we see there are threats. But I think each situation should be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. So my final answer is I don't believe it's in and of itself a threat to African Americans any more than in and of itself the black nationalistic movement is typified by the Nation of Islam. That's the organization associated with the leadership of Louis Farrakhan now, was under Elijah Muhammad in the past. I don't think it's a threat to white Americans. And I don't think white nationalism has to be a threat to black Americans. But when people cross the line, whether it's the black nationalists or whether it's the white nationalists in terms of depriving people of their civil rights and their human rights or even their property rights, then it does become a threat, and it should be dealt with using law enforcement and using our Second Amendment rights. So that's my response. I give you the floor, as they call it now, and after your response, we'll be finished for the night, unless somebody else joins us. So, Ms. Priyanka, you're on now.
Well, you should have a couple of topics to talk about. Next one would be a good one, is about the Statue of Liberty and what's being thrown out there about it, as it has to do with immigration. I don't have anything else to say about white nationalists.
Well, you know, as we said this, you know, almost from the beginning of the program 2.5 years ago, that once we exhaust the topic that I have actually selected, if somebody else wants to introduce another topic for discussion, you're free to do it.
And I don't know if you heard the discussions around the Statue of Liberty, where you had a person say that it was meant for white immigrants. And then you had somebody else make notion of the poem that's on the base of the Statue of Liberty.
You're asking me a question about it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, let me have a minute and I'll give you my answer. I grew up in a community in Tuskegee, Alabama, and went to school, and we had very idealistic ideas about America. We had ideas about America that made us want to see the best future for America. And I want to welcome our caller from the 815 area code. So without me going into a long answer to your question, our caller may have called to respond to the announced topic. So let me give our caller the opportunity to respond to the announced topic, and then I'll come back to this new topic, Mr. Priyanka. So let me do that. I want to welcome our caller from the 815 area code. Your last three digits of your phone number are 225. And I will, for your benefit, reiterate the topic that we had announced for tonight. Is America's increasing white nationalism, quote unquote, white nationalism, a threat to African Americans? Why or why not? And if it is, what can be done about it? If you want to announce your identity, your name, you're free to do it, but you don't have to. But you've heard the topic. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to thank you. I listened to your your commentary on it, and I agreed with what you said. That made a lot of sense to me. I'm mostly listening for educational purposes. And if I can, sometimes I will comment. But I really like your explanation. That made a lot of sense. So that's what I wanted to call in and let you know. I didn't have a comment either way. You know, I just found out what the topic was, and I really didn't have time to think about it too much. But you answered it for me. You know, what you said made a lot of sense, and I really couldn't add any more to it.
Well, I do certainly appreciate you calling in. I know most of the time you prefer just to listen, and so it's always a joy when I talk to you offline about the program, and it's certainly a joy for you to share your compliment. I take it as a compliment to my response to share with our audience. So having said that, I'm going to go ahead. If you stay online, if you want to respond to this next part that Ms. Bianchi had asked me about, beginning to give an answer to that, and I'll try to keep it short. And if you want to respond to it, please do it. I'm sure he probably will want to respond to it. But he had asked me, I don't want to misquote you, Ms. Bianchi, but I'm going to summarize the way I understood it, about the Statue of Liberty and what it idealistically has represented. That's the way I hear the question. And I was beginning to say that as a child, growing up in an idealistic type of environment down in Tuskegee Institute, Alabama, and attending a very, very good elementary school. And I say good because it was actually a Catholic parochial school, and the nuns that were our teachers were very highly trained, and they were very dedicated. That's where all the teachers that I knew throughout the town, many of my mother's friends and people that I looked up to as surrogate parents, ultra parents, you might say, because in that community, the idea of it taking a village really was true. All of the parents looked out for all of the children. And many of the parents were teachers. And so, but my school was very patriotic, and we were very, very imbued with the idea of patriotism. And so the idea of the Statue of Liberty being a beacon, welcoming the poor people, immigrants, you know, from other countries that were less fortunate, this meant something to me. You know, we saw pictures of people coming from some of the Eastern European countries, almost in tatters, coming through Ellis Island, being processed there, and coming in to America to have the great opportunities that America provides. And I've always seen America representing that. It seems like currently there's a pulling back of that particular invitation, a pulling back of the open arms mantra that America represented when I was being trained as a child. And I'm not happy with that, although I know that we can't bear the burdens of all the suffering people of the world. And I do, to a great extent, identify with, this may surprise some people that are listening, I do identify to some extent with what President Trump is saying, is that he wants people to come to America that can add to the value, that's my own words, but can be an asset to make a contribution, not just people who are coming to be able to sign up for a welfare check, for free food, because their countries where they come from are not performing well. And I have to say, I visited a lot of those countries, and a lot of them have a lot of corruption in the government. And unfortunately, America just cannot fix the problems of the whole world. But I do feel that we should not be closed fists and not still have a heart to help the poor people of the world. So that's my answer, Ms. Bianchi. I'll go ahead and go hear your response. And if we don't have any additional callers, we'll close out. So, Ms. Bianchi, I've given you my.
Well, here's the thing. The Statue of Liberty had nothing to do in regards to immigrants. Nothing whatsoever. The Statue of Liberty was a gift from France in commemoration of their collaboration in the American Revolutionary War, where the colonial powers was fighting Britain. You had, along with the leadership of General George Washington, you had French troops. You had members of the Ecoros Indians at fault with George Washington. And you had Haitians under the command of Henry Christophe that fought with George Washington in France. And there may have been some other groups too, in a minuscule amount. And that's what it was about. The poem that's written on the base was added much, much, much later. It had nothing to do with the statue. The poem was there because it was raising money to provide a base. So some poet put it on there. But it wasn't the original intent. And immigrants that come to the country, any country has a right to set the standards. The standard should be that you come to the country to provide a service. You have to prove that you can maintain and sustain yourself and not be a burden on this society. And no matter what the arrangement is, it may be that you come for a short period of time. If you are skillful in an area where there's a shortage of, one of the reasons why I was exempt from going to service because I was in an occupation where there was a need for skilled people. And once you train Americans for those positions, then those folks got to leave, got to go away. So what you have today is the news media, once more, is taking something into a whole different direction, trying to bring about emotions, and basically against this president, who's doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to enforce the laws, protect the borders, and that's what he's trying to do. You can't go walking off into some country and asking for asylum because you are running from poverty conditions. You have, and your people that's complaining about those conditions, you have to do what you should do, like other nations have done, in order to change them, even to the point of having a revolution to make things work the way they should to suit you. It's not the United States' responsibility. It's not Americans' responsibility. Because, I'm going to tell you why. Because if the United States was to do what it thought it should do in order to straighten things out, then it possibly would have to invade and occupy the country. Well, what happens when you do that? Well, one thing, it brings about animosity by the people that's there. And also you are subjecting your soldiers to harm of injury and possibly death. Then at that point, it's really on. So that's my synopsis on the Statue of Liberty.
But okay, well, thank you so much, Mr. Bianchi. We're going to write this down as a good show because we have exchanged some ideas in our family room forum that are germane to the time we live in. Both of these topics have been very, very necessary to talk about topics. One deal with immigration, and the other deal with the question of the white nationalism, whether it was a threat to African Americans, and I gave my response. One of the callers just recently called in. She's gone now, and she appreciated it. And of course, Ms. Pianca, you gave your response. And then the other topic, which we really didn't identify as a topic, was the news media and the light, if you want to call it that, slant, if you want to call it that, that they're putting on these issues. And maybe next week we'll talk about that particular topic, is the news media being fair as it addresses these issues of national concern. Is it being fair to the public? Are we getting an objective view? Are we getting a jaundiced view? Is it being fair to the people that are being reported about, including the President of the United States or some of the members of Congress? We're going to probably talk about that next week. But I do want to mention this before we close, that I will not be broadcasting on the 31st of August, end of the month, the last Saturday of the month. I'll be traveling, so we will not be broadcasting. But we will pick up the following week, God willing. But we will be on next week, and perhaps we will choose that as a topic. Is the news media fair as it addresses these issues of national concern? Did you want to say anything, Tom, before we close, Ms. Priyaki?
Well, if you had a topic regarding police brutality, racism, and stuff like that, you probably have the room packed. It's late.
Yeah, well, we may do that. It may come up again. One thing you just made me think about that I would like to talk about is what is behind, and I mean, I don't say there's a conspiracy or any organized, you know, movement, but what spiritually or emotionally or psychologically is behind this recent outbreak of attacks on our law enforcement personnel. I just heard today about two people that were stopped in a vehicle for some reason. I don't know exactly why the police came down, but as soon as that, the police stopped them, they got out of the car and started shooting at the police. And this seems to be happening more and more frequently. So that is a topic that I definitely want to
talk. Well, what about the other attack on the police? Did you see that one?
No, I didn't, but I'm just saying I'm not going to make it a topic tonight.
Yeah, think about this, and while you're at it, I'm getting ready to hang up. The one in Philadelphia where you had the people who was taunting the police that was trying to serve a warrant on that criminal and throwing rocks at him.
Right. So we could talk about that next week if you want.
I'll see you later.
Okay, God bless you. Have a great rest of the weekend, Ms. Priyaki.
And now, a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.